put my arm around her and I said, Jesus loves you. And she was terrified. She nearly fell into the sewer. She went backwards. And she said to me, oh, she said, dear, you've made a mistake. She said, nobody told you what I do. Huh? Nobody told you who I am. Nobody told you. You see, I know you're one of those nice Christians. And Christians don't touch people like me. And I realized that she had no idea about Jesus. She just knew Christians were nice. Many of them said that. You see, Christians can read. Most of them couldn't. Christians had Sunday off. And those who worked would never get Sunday off. Never. Once a year, maybe they get 3 days off at Chinese New Year. The rest, average work. 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. No weekend, no Sunday. How can they be Christians? Of course they can't. Because they can't go to that building you go to on a Sunday. How can they be Christians? Of course they can't. Because they can't read that book Christians carry. How can they be Christians? Of course they can't, because they don't have an extra pair of shoes. And people dress up to go to that building on Sunday. But they didn't know who Jesus was. And I realized that the words, Jesus loves you, mean nothing. Nothing. They don't. Not if you don't know what love is. Not if you don't know who Jesus is. Wouldn't mean anything to you. No wonder she was frightened. But I thought, I've done it wrong. It's not just words. It's deeds. Words and deeds. Because, you see, I didn't have a place like this. I couldn't go up to her and say, oh, look, you know, I know some people and, you know, they're really quite normal and, you know, you could meet them and you could come along and we'd spend some time and, you know, we could tell you about Jesus. I didn't have anyone at all that I could introduce her to. Not a place to take her, not like this. I didn't even have a neighbor with a home where we could sit down and ask her in, even for a cup of tea. I had nothing. So I thought, the only way she's going to understand who Jesus is, the only way that these people are going to understand who Jesus is if I am Jesus to them. And I remember those words that Jesus spoke, that he had come to release the captives, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, to give sight to the blind. So I thought, that's how you do it. You give them what they don't have. So for the next year or so, this is what I did. I opened a room in the Wall Street. It was very, very, very small. I mean, I think your loos are bigger practically. I mean, your toilets. And just big enough for a ping pong table. And I opened it up at night time, and especially to welcome the gangsters, mainly from one particular gang called the 14K, and just opened it up for them to come in. And God was really good, because they didn't like the Jesus bit at all. I always said, I'm here because of Jesus. And they said, you know, Guan Yuye, so called teasing. Of course she's cracked about Jesus. But apart from that, she's all right. And I was really happy about that. Really happy, because of course they didn't understand about Jesus. Every time we had hymn singing or prayers or anything, they used to go outside and whistle and smoke their cigarettes and catcall, and when we'd finished, they'd come in. That's all right. Because they said, oh, apart from Jesus, she's all right. And they were beginning to understand who Jesus was. Because when they didn't have any rice to eat, I shared my rice. And when friends passed through, they shared their rice. If people didn't have schools, we tried to find them a school. When they got beaten up by other gangs, we mopped up their blood or sent them to hospital. There was a lady there that asked me to visit a family. And this family is called the Zhong family. And there was a mother that had 6 children. And upon the birth of the 6th, she had it and 1 hour later walked back home. because she had to take care of the family. Her husband was an addict. They lived about six stories up inside the walled city, and it wasn't a home at all. It was just somebody's roof. And on the top of the roof, they put a kind of tarpaulin. And when it rained, they used to have to empty that out, otherwise the whole room flooded. And there was nothing in it except a double bed. And the children were born on the bed. They slept on the bed. They learned to read on the bed. They did their homework. They cooked on the bed. That was all they had, a bed. And I went to see this lady. And she couldn't work anymore. She used to carry water because there's no water in the walled city. 60,000 people living in 5 acres, if you can imagine that. Not much more than 5 football fields and 60,000 people. No water, no toilets. And this is where she lived. And she used to get 5 cents. Well, divide that by 8 and you get what their 5 cents is. For carrying 2 buckets of water up to somebody's home. That may be 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 stories high. And in the end, her legs ached and her knees were bad and she couldn't do it anymore. Neither could she see a doctor because she had no money to see a doctor. So she had no food. And somebody had asked me to visit her. So I used to go and sit on her bed and tell her about Jesus. It was lovely. It's really easy to preach the gospel to people like that. It's really easy. They're longing to hear. So I said, it's all right, you know. There's a God up there who loves you very much. And he'll come and sit on your bed. He'll be here. And he'll talk with you. And she smiled and she said, that's the one I want. The one who'll come and sit on my bed. And we used to talk to Jesus together. And I used to, with my friends, buy some dried sausages for her. We didn't want to give her money because her husband was taking heroin all the time and would take the money. He earned money, but he never gave the family anything. And all they ever ate before we came, all they ever ate was wet rice. Was rice diluted with a lot of water, so it turns into a kind of soup. That's all they ever had. So we used to take them sausages and eggs and tins and things. And the children were very shy. The 5 eldest ones had nowhere to play, you see. So when I went to see the mother, they were very embarrassed. They couldn't go into another room and be children. So the only thing they could do was to turn to the wall. And all 5 children used to turn to the wall and pretend I wasn't there because they were shy. Think of that. Think of your children who maybe even have a bedroom between 2 or 3, and maybe some of your children have 1 each. I asked the woman who sent me to see that family, why did you send me? Because you see, I didn't have very much money myself. I didn't have a church behind me. I didn't have a mission that sent money to me. All I could give that lady was what I had. And that wasn't very much, because I was already going to other homes. People kept sending me. There was one with 11 children whose husband was out of work. Go and help the family, they said. Me, how can I help someone with 11 children? I've already got 3 people living in my little room. I can just barely pay the rent myself. How am I going to help someone with 11 children whose husband's out of work? And someone else again who's been sent to the mental hospital, and I've got to look after the husband and 6 children. And this family here sitting on the bed with the children all face to the wall. Why, I said to the lady, why do you send me? Why don't you find one of the agencies in town? There are missionary agencies, there are. There are lots of people in Hong Kong doing missionary work. Why don't you find one of them? They've got resources, I don't. And she said, I'm sending you because I know you care about them. That's a terrible responsibility, but it's a great joy. Nobody ever got saved by an organization. We're saved through Jesus. And that's what people want to know. Not is there an